Hello and welcome to Securing Sexuality, the podcast where we discuss the intersection of intimacy
and information security. I'm Wolf Gorlick.
He's a hacker. And I'm Stephanie Gorlick.
She's a sex therapist. And together we're going to discuss what safe sex looks like in a digital age. We are recording from the road, so hopefully the audio is good and hopefully I don't have to edit.
Where are we this time? I lose track. You just tell me to pack a bag and join you in the car, and then the plane takes me somewhere. Where are we
this time? Yeah, you say that. But this time we're traveling for your work, not mine. We are in lovely Denver.
Okay, the fact that it's for my work doesn't mean I know where we are. It only means I know why we're here.
Well, we're here. Well, why are we here?
Because I did a book thing.
You did, right? So with sprinkles on top. You're out here doing the book signing thing, being the celebrity thing.
I am not a celebrity. I am an academic.
Well, you're my celebrity. But putting that aside, whenever we travel, we tend to try to stay in hotels. Sometimes we do the Airbnb side. Sometimes we do the Vrbo side because I'm paranoid.
I thought it was because I don't like being a house guest.
But there's that too. I mean, a lot of times in the Airbnbs, they're like, oh, you are renting a room. But even then, if we rented a house, I still get a little bit concerned being in someone else's house.
No, I mean, I don't like being a house guest when I'm being hosted. I mean, under any context, I don't like being in somebody else's house, whether they're there or not. And we've done the bed and breakfast thing, which I'm sorry, I don't go on vacation to be friendly with strangers. I don't want to learn about Melvin from Cincinnati while I eat breakfast biscuits from a retiree who made them herself. I want to go to the Hilton Continental Breakfast and eat terrible store-bought breakfast in blissful silence. I am a hotel girl, which works out really nicely because you are an Airbnb skeptic.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about some of the reasons why to be skeptical of Airbnb, but this goes back to our AMA episode. You remember we got a question in our AMA episode, which was something to the effect of, does Wolfgang always check for cameras or do you two like to be watched?
I mean, to be fair, we got a lot of questions. That's why it's called AMA. But I do remember that one because I don't like to be watched, which is why I like hotel rooms. But yeah, cameras are a thing in Airbnbs. I remember we went on vacation a couple years ago now with some friends of ours, and we rented a condo through Airbnb. And the first thing our friends did, because they're your people, they're hacker people, was to scan their room for hidden cameras. And until they did that, that idea had not occurred to me.
So there is some differences in the law, right? Both Airbnb and Vrbo will allow you to have cameras in the exterior areas. And that makes sense. Like if I'm a property owner, I don't necessarily want to take a lot of chances. I want to know who's coming in and out of my space, right? I can see sort of the security perspective. But Vrbo will prevent you're not supposed to have any cameras within the property itself. Like once you passed that front door, once you went from the public space to the private space, you shouldn't be camera free. Airbnb, on the other hand, is a little bit more lenient. Like if you have cameras in like the living room or in the kitchen, it's sort of okay, but you're not supposed to have it in the bedroom and certainly not in the bathrooms. So that's one of the reasons why I sort of prefer Vrbo's, but either way, you're reliant on the property owner themselves to be making good decisions.
And I read an article recently where the property owner's opinion of the decisions that their guest was making led to some chaos because they narked out their renter for being there with somebody who wasn't his wife.
Right. And I want to talk about that, but I want to also push a little bit because what's weird is some of these people, the Airbnb people and the Vrbo people, are like, we don't want you to have sex when you rent out our house. So there's now contract language sometimes saying you promise not to have sex if you're in one of our places, which before we even get to people coming in is kind of weird, right? Like, should you be able to mandate? I suppose if it's your property, we can have some discussion, but I don't want to be like, oh, am I allowed to have sex in this place or no? Like, what is the requirement? That seems like very micromanagement.
Now, are you talking about like a religious thing where we don't want you having sex outside of marriage in our property? Or are you saying like at all, like even a married couple is not allowed to put on some Will Smith and get jiggy with it?
Nobody puts on Will Smith and gets jiggy with it.
But he's saying get jiggy with it, right?
How? We really need to update your music. If you're listening, please send my wife better romantic music suggestions from sometime within the past decade. Or at least the past century.
Did he at least sing that song? Oh my goodness! Song?
Yes, he did.
Okay, good. Oh, so
you're
right.
Hurting my head. No, so there are a variety of different reasons. Either the people may say it's religious, and so of course that also traipses into we're not going to allow you to have sex, certain kinds of sex, right? So there was a big scandal about like gay people can have sex in certain Airbnbs. So yes, there's that. But there's also, well, we don't want to clean up. So sometimes people have sex and that creates a mess. Or, you know, in the pool or the hot tub that we would have to empty out the water. There's also this sort of cleanliness air about it.
Okay, so the hot tub thing, the pool thing makes perfect sense. I don't want to be the next guest in that hot tub in that case. But that just ties into another reason why I don't like staying in those rentals, because I've never stayed in one with you yet where they didn't make me do the laundry on our way out the door.
Yeah, it's a lot more work. And the last time that we got one didn't have cameras, which was nice. Well, the cameras are exterior, but not interior, which was nice. We checked that. But there was like a lot of rules like, where you put your garbage and where you take this and where you take, there's like, they had a whole book that you were handed when you walked in with all the rules. And I am not a rule following person. I think we got knocked. I got a note afterwards that I did something wrong with the trash.
But if I'm already the one doing the laundry,
yeah,
why do they care how we dirty the sheets?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And more importantly, who somebody's dirtying the sheets with. Because that brings me back to my original point.
Yes.
Which was the story I saw where somebody rented an Airbnb and the host tried to say that they had too many guests and that they had thrown a party. They charged a whole bunch of fees. The guest pushed back on those fees and ended up getting a video from the exterior cameras over the front door of him walking in with somebody that was apparently not his wife, and the host saying effectively, wouldn't it be a shame if this video were sent to your wife?
Be a big shame if this video would somehow make it into her hands. Yeah, that was in Memphis, and you're right. Like, they requested this guy say he was going to come to this event and who was going to sleep over, and not everyone who came and not everyone who slept over were everyone who's on the list. And at 3 o'clock, another woman was walked into the space with him. And this was exterior camera. So at least they're in the letter of the law by Airbnb standards, right? We're not talking about interior camera, which is good. You can imagine if they had interior shots of whatever this couple did, if they were a couple, what would have happened there. But it was an exterior camera shot. And they saw them walking in. They definitely, based on some of the photos we've seen, looked pretty friendly. They look pretty close. I'm sharing a photo right now with you.
But that doesn't mean anything. And it's so gross and intrusive to me, especially when this particular person was already having several other people over, that they would make that leap and then effectively try to blackmail him. I don't understand how that's allowed to happen. And what blew me away is that at the end of the day, Airbnb backed the host, right?
Yeah. And so far as I can tell, yes, Airbnb backed the host. And the person whose house it was like, well, we're angry because you had people you shouldn't have over. Well, we're angry because the neighbors complained about noise or whatever. But this host called the person and threatened them with this video.
I am blown away. I already don't like being a house guest. I don't like doing laundry at our house, much less when we're traveling. And then to know that the people that you're renting from might be watching you and interpreting behavior in the worst possible way, because I've seen the same videos or the same stills, I should say, that you're talking about, and they're not making out. There's not a lot of physical affection happening. There's nothing to indicate that anything untoward is happening. And so for them to then say, it would be a shame if your wife got this, wouldn't it, is just horrifying to me.
And it was effectively blackmail, right? Because they're like, pay the bill or else this is going to go to your spouse. And they sent him a $960 bill for like a couple nights stay. This was $960 on top of what he already agreed to pay. And it consisted for a fine for violating house rules, which was $500. A fine for having extra guests, which is $160. And then, this is my favorite, a fine for submitting a bad review, because that review was supposed to be moderated by the property owner.
I'm literally speechless right now. I'm curious why the police didn't get involved. Why wasn't this reported as exactly that, as blackmail, as extortion?
I really don't know. I'd have to be in this person's head. So, the guy who rented it, I've got no idea why. I mean, I would go to the police. I would do something to head it off. But then the person did eventually send it to the wife after creating like a sock puppet email account.
So wait, he paid them and they still narked him out?
No, refused to pay. And okay. Then the property owner creates a sock puppet account on Outlook.com, like just a throwaway email.
Yeah.
And then sent the screenshots to the guy's wife.
And the guy's wife responded and said, yeah, and, right?
Probably. I mean, we don't know. I wasn't there. Well, how would you respond? Well, all right, let's pause this because we're talking about the tech, right? All right, let's review the tech quickly. Exterior cameras, problem with where the cameras are, which we need to cover. Problem if it's a good camera or secure camera, which you need to cover. Also, marital relationships.
And sock puppet emails.
Which we haven't covered. So from a sex therapist perspective, how, if your client came in and said, I'm so mad at Tommy because Tom, and it was not Tommy who did this, but so mad at Tommy because Tommy said he was just going to go have a party with some of his friends, and now I'm getting pictures that Tommy was there with a woman. How would you navigate that?
I mean, it depends on the relationship agreement, right? Because we have a lot of friends who would get that email and say, yeah, that's my meta. I totally knew this was their weekend. What's the big deal? And I also have clients where that would be a huge breach of trust, even if nothing physical happened between them. The fact that somebody of the opposite sex was at the rental property with their spouse and they didn't know about it ahead of time, that alone would be sufficient for perhaps a nuclear level relationship disaster. And you don't really know, and you can't really tell. But for me, the presumption of the property owner to take it to that level is where I keep getting stuck.
I agree, but I want to pull out one thing that's kind of interesting here. You're a hotel girl. I am a monogamous man because, man, I don't want to have to read a relationship contract to know what I can and cannot do. That sounds like Airbnb again. Like, all right, you can have sex with this person, but not that person. You can, you know, have sex in the bedroom, but not in the hot tub. Also, the cameras are here, here, and here. Oh my goodness, no, I just want to check in and check out. Can we just stay married forever?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because you did marry a Jewish girl, and we do have a ketubah. So technically, you kind of do have the Airbnb standard operating procedure manual.
Yeah, but that one, A, I helped write. Well, I didn't help write. I think I wrote the whole thing and then we had it translated. But B, those are like a very simple to read TOS. Like I didn't give you like a 40 page document in a handbook when, I should have though. Can you imagine if I proposed to you? All right, picture it. We're on top of a parapet. We're in the Carpathian Mountains. The mist is rolling over. I bend down on one knee and I pull out my sticky notes and I propose to you, right? Will you marry me? And you're all sort of like, oh my God, this is really happening. You're all kind of happy. You're happy blush. And you take the ring and say, yes, yes. I said, before you put it on, here. And I hand you a binder just like Airbnb did with all the rules. That's what I should have done.
I mean, I know people that get off on that kind of thing.
Of course you do. I don't, you are 100% right that a relationship contract would dictate how the other person would respond. But man, contracts are just, the whole thing just is killing me.
And see, it's the contract piece that I'm trying to wrap my head around. The fact that apparently there is no expectation of privacy if you're renting on these sort of secondary marketplaces. I mean, if I'm at a hotel and let's reverse the situation. Let's say you're at a hotel and you walk some other woman into your room and I show up a half hour later at the front desk and I want to know who is in your room with me. The desk clerk is telling me nothing. They're not even confirming that you're registered, ideally, and at best, they're not going to say what room you're in, much less who you're with. There is a certain expectation of privacy that is standard in the hospitality industry that apparently doesn't exist in the secondary market. And the idea that not only cameras are acceptable in common areas of the spaces that we're renting, but that the exterior cameras could be weaponized against us. The fact that that's not in the contracts that these companies are creating for their renters is blowing my mind.
Well, you've got established case law. You've got history. The longer something's been out, the more likely there's been a lawsuit about this. There's more likely there's been laws put around it. There's more likely there's been guardrails around it. And so far as I know, and if anyone wants to fact check me on this, feel free. We're going off of my very spotty memory. I think the first hotel in America was like 1794. So it was like a couple hundred years ago, right? The first hotel, I think it was in New York, the City Hotel. So we've had...
Creative name. New York City, the City Hotel?
Yeah.
They were just creative geniuses, those Puritans.
Well, back then, marketing was much easier. If it's called a hotel in the city, it's the City Hotel. This isn't like a tech center, what the City Hotel in New York is like Air Squid 45B or Super Stay Room, but the room is R with a zero and an M. No, this is like old school classic Americana. City Hotel.
Also, there were like three cities total and only one of them had a hotel.
Yeah, and you didn't travel between them.
Okay, fair.
So
keep going.
We've had, again, if I'm right, at least since 1794 to figure this out, and Airbnb has not been around that long. So one of the things that always gets me about any of these sort of like new and emerging tech, and I'm a technologist, you know, I love me some new and emerging tech, but oftentimes the speed and the value and the advantage is from circumventing existing laws, right? Like Uber and Lyft got really far because they didn't have to follow taxi laws. Airbnb and Vrbo's got really far because they don't have to follow hotel laws.
But they should.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they're not mandated under like the Innkeepers Act or those things, you would think that when these companies were getting set up, when the first tech person had the, I'm going to say genius, but please, you know, backslash S that, genius idea that there should be no more available like housing market, we should turn it all into Airbnbs, that they would have looked at the existing standards and practices in the industry that they were seeking to replicate. So the idea that all of these people are being monitored in the spaces that they're paying to use okay, fine, I don't like it, but I kind of get it. But you would think that there would be something in the contracts protecting the privacy of the renters. And I keep coming back to the what the fuckness of this all.
Well, no, I mean, think about this. Airbnb hasn't even been around 2 decades. They were found, I think, in around 2008, whereas the hotel industry has been around for more than 2 centuries. And all these tech companies, when they come out, we're seeing the exact same thing, by the way, with GPT right now. All these tech companies, when they come out, the first thing they do is say, nope, we're not that industry. We are something brand new and exciting and innovative, and therefore they avoid all the regulations. And one might argue, if you're a capitalist, they avoid all the regulations and therefore they go faster. One might argue, if you're my wife, they avoid all the protections and therefore they screw people over.
I think more than just your wife would make that argument personally.
No, just you. You're the only one.
Okay, good to know.
But you know what else is weird? In addition to these photos and the privacy concerns, have you heard about the Airbnb scams that turn into crypto scams?
No, but you know, where there are stupid tech ideas, there inevitably will be crypto scams. So please, darling, tell me more.
The way it works is they're like, oh, I want to rent this space. I can't. And you seem really nice. Are you single? And next they're like, I am single. They're like, well, you know, you're working so hard. I hope you're having a good day. And like, I was having a good day. Thank you for asking. What do you do? And they're like, oh, I am a tech entrepreneur or I'm a fashionista and I run my own business. I'm doing so good in business, but I'm so unlucky in love. And that's why this fell through. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Let me help. And then the next thing, she's like, oh, and you're my only male friend. You're the only one who understands me. And this whole thing starts on Airbnb. And this is a scam of the property owner. Next thing you know, the property owner is sending this poor girl some money to travel and see him, or some money to, you know, invest or whatever. Maybe just need some money to tide it over. And eventually, once they get them hooked a couple times, like, oh, I just got this great investment. You should make all the money too. And then they're in crypto and they lose all their money.
So it's the text message scams we've been hearing about, but instead of text messaging people, they're messaging them through rental apps.
Yeah, and we should actually get someone on this podcast to talk about that. But yes, that's a good way to put it. The other way that the scam happens is you rent the property, you show up. This happened to a good friend of ours, hacker who travels all the time with Airbnb. They show up, the property has already been rented. They're like, oh, we're so sorry. There must have been the glitch. We'll cut your rate a little bit. Here's another property. And you think you rented this beautiful, you know, property for a few days, overlooking whatever, to see whatever. And next thing you know, you're in some cheap bungalow that they just happened to use those property photos to lure people in.
I mean, I have had whatever on my travel bucket list for a while now. But that's not even the scam I thought you were going to talk about.
Well, what are you thinking?
I am reading a novel right now that is awesome and hilarious. It's called The Gollum of Brooklyn. I highly recommend it, but it's not at all technically relevant, except for this. The main character was renting out their apartment on, I'm going to say Craigslist for these purposes. And they ended up being the victims along with the renters, because scammers were taking their post, advertising their apartment as a rental, cloning it, creating other ads on other platforms. People were booking his apartment. People were paying for the apartment. They were showing up and he was still there like, no, I'm here this week.
Yeah, that's a whole other scam, right? Property theft via pictures.
So this is the part where I inevitably say, now that you've made me all scared of stuff, how do I keep myself safe? Besides the obvious, stay in a hotel where they do the laundry for me and the breakfast is terrible, but people leave me alone while I eat it.
I wish you really liked the bed and breakfast. That was such a great story about the guy coming up and, you know, how he influenced her to open up this bed and breakfast and the biscuit recipe. And you're like, boof, I'm leaving. You're talking to me. I don't know why you're here.
Okay, look, it was really sweet. And I love that you took me on the trip. And it was incredibly romantic. I just like my romance to happen away from other people.
See, I don't think we're cut out to be poly. But let me tell you one additional thing to scare you. Can I work in one additional scary thing?
Okay.
So, what type of camera vendors are you aware of that people would put on the outside of their properties?
Oh, I know this one. There's Ring cameras and Nest cameras.
Yep.
And I feel like one of those is Google and one of those is Amazon, but maybe Amazon has its own, like, third one. It's like all of, like, the big three tech companies have their own cameras now, right?
Yes. So Nest is Google.
Okay.
Ring is Amazon.
Okay.
And people are like, I don't want to use Google or Ring. Use a third. You know what it's called?
Wyze?
Yes, but not spelled like Wyze. Of course, you have to spell it weird because that's what tech people do.
I'm surprised there's not a random umlaut, to be honest.
W-Y-Z-E. I think the umlaut is inferred over the Z.
Okay.
As we're recording this podcast, just recently, Wyze was telling people that there was a breach. And what was happening was you would go in to check your camera and you'd be randomly connected to someone else's camera. And it wasn't just one or two people. It was 13,000 households, many of them Airbnb places.
Okay, so wait, like somebody rings my doorbell and I'm not home. So I pull out my cell phone to see who's at my door. But instead of seeing my door, I see a cute little bungalow in wherever.
Yes. And then you watch to see if a man's coming in with a woman and you take a screenshot of that and you set up a fake Outlook email address and you email them for $960.
I feel like that's an awful lot of work for $960.
Okay. Maybe we won't do that then. And anyways, you shouldn't because it's bad. But isn't it something that not only do we need to think about the contracts we're agreeing to, not only do we need to think about the decisions we're making as consumers, we also have to worry about have the owners of these properties installed equipment that can actually enforce the consent of which we've given them. Is this the cameras that we're agreeing to in the areas we're agreeing to actually capable of keeping our information safe? And in the case of Wyze, in the case of 13,000 households within the past week, the answer would be no.
I feel like every conversation we have on this podcast, the question of, but can the technology keep me safe, is asked. And the answer pretty uniformly is, no, silly woman. Why would you ask such a thing? The role of technology is to entertain us. It's to outsource us. It's, in the case of a lot of these rental places, to render us incapable of purchasing a home. But it's certainly not to keep us safe. Too cynical?
Very cynical.
But so, too cynical.
Yes. I think it's, ouch, you hurt me. You hurt my tech brain. I don't even want to think about this. Next, I'm going to go back to thinking about fun names for the City Hotel if it was founded in 2094, not 1794. All right. Here's the thing. First off, if you're a property owner,
stop it.
Stop it. No, I mean, be conscientious. Patch your cameras. Only put them externally. Don't do anything inappropriately internally. Be very careful of the scams that we're talking about where people are trying to defraud you a million and one ways this Sunday. If you are a person who travels,
stay in a hotel. what you lose in breakfast quality, you make up for in personal privacy.
Or if you are going to go Airbnb or Vrbo, read the contracts. I would argue Vrbo, and again, the sponsor, I don't make any money off any of this, but between the two, I think Vrbo has a better privacy policy. No cameras whatsoever. Airbnb is a little bit fuzzy.
What we will say is we don't accept advertising on this podcast, but if we were to stay in a rental, and we have at times, we go Vrbo.
I don't even want to give out that much information. Potentially, yes. There's if in the potential future in which I potentially take you to a house, I would do Vrbo over Airbnb.
I've already told them I don't like being a house guest. So yeah. It's all hypothetical anyway. It's all
hypothetical.
Frankly, I prefer the Ritz-Carlton.
I'm not entirely comfortable with the fact we told them we're in Denver this week. There's someone who could be like doing OPSEC or, oh, where's Wolf? Let's check all the Vrbos. Anyways, read your contracts. Read the agreements. See if there's restrictions around having sex. See where they're saying the cameras are posted.
Ask if you're allowed to be gay on their property.
What is this world coming to? Yes, I mean, that is unfortunately an issue. And then when you're in the property, yes, our friends had technology, and I've got technology that will look for hidden cameras and everything. But you can also do this old-fashioned way. You can, oh, go ahead.
Can I guess what old-fashioned means?
Sure.
Unplug shit.
Oh, yes, just unplug everything. There's no cameras. But I wasn't what I was thinking, but now you're not wrong.
Unplug the lamps.
Bring tap lights. Bring tap lights and turn off all the fuses.
No, there's the big lights. There's the overhead lights.
But if you turn off all the fuses, they'll be off. So you bring tap lights.
Okay, but see, you're being ridiculous and I was being serious.
I mean, being ridiculous.
Like, unplug the alarm clock. Stick it in the drawer. Unplug the lamps, or bring your own light bulbs. I mean, silly things, but low-key, easy lift things that if you were concerned would help.
Oh yes. Or I would turn off fuses to rooms and then you don't have to worry about anything. But I like what you're thinking, because I hadn't even thought about that. What I was actually talking about is you turn off the lights in the room, you turn on the flashlight in your camera, you just slowly scan, and if you see light glinting off something, that is probably a camera screen shining back at you. That's trick one. Trick two is you turn off your camera light and you scan, and the infrared from the camera is going to light up your phone, so you'll be able to see if there's a light spot that you can't see visually. That's probably infrared from a camera that's lighting you up and recording you. So with your Android or iPhone, you can use the flashlight, or you can use the camera mode. Scan the room twice and you're usually able to see them without having to buy all the fancy spy equipment. Or buy the fancy spy equipment and be like, you know, Jason Bourne or James Bond.
I mean, they did have like the old timey bug detectors when we were at the spy museum.
Yes.
I kind of want one.
Well, you know, if that's what you want. I think that's in that when we got married, it's in the Ketubah. You get all the spy equipment gear you want.
I get to stay at the Ritz-Carlton with spy gear and mediocre but private breakfast.
I feel like I'm signing up to a lot. So before I do, I'm going to set up this podcast.
Okay. So we're leaving. We're leaving this episode. We're leaving Denver soon. We will be staying. We'll be, you know, it's all about creating our own personal risk profiles and our own risk framework. Something I talk about a lot in my work. We're not saying don't ever stay at a vacation rental. We're saying think about what your risk framework is, what your risk tolerance is, whether or not you're an exhibitionist who likes to be watched per our AMA or not, and then make informed decisions based on that. But be thoughtful about where you go and who you go with, because the expectations for privacy are much lower than I knew before reading about this guy getting busted while staying in an Airbnb.
And to your point, Airbnb backed him. So it's not like at the moment there's no protections for taking photos from an exterior site and sharing it.
Sometimes the old school technology is best. The crotchety 75-year-old has seen it all and is fazed by nothing. Night auditor working the front desk at the by-the-hour motel is the best security you're going to get.
And I bet he has a good story, too, about the cookies he bakes and where they came from. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in to Securing Sexuality from the Road, your source of information you need to protect yourself and your relationships.
Securing Sexuality is brought to you by the Bound Together Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. From the bedroom to the cloud, we're here to help you navigate what safe sex looks like in a digital age.
Be sure to check out our website, securingsexuality.com, for links to more information about the topics we discussed here today, as well as our upcoming live events.
and join us again for more fascinating conversations about the intersection of sexuality and technology. Have a great week. We'll be right back.